right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Fearcast. This is the podcast dedicated to OCD, anxiety, and anxiety spectrum disorders, and getting your life back. I'm your host, Kevin Foss, and I'm a licensed therapist specializing in OCD and anxiety. Thank you all so much for joining me today for this podcast. It's been a while since I've posted a podcast, and I sat down at my microphone today going, do I even still know how to do this? Am I gonna say stuff that's gonna be good and helpful? And you know what? We're gonna just buckle up and we're gonna find out. So, oh man, it was a comedy of errors trying to figure out how I was gonna get a podcast up, and I'm glad I finally have a chance to sit down and do it. I'm telling you, I got to my office early last Friday. I'm like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to sit down. I'm going to record something. It's going to be great. So I came to my office, and you know what happened? I locked myself out of my own office. I walked in my office. I got a spare set of keys because we just hired a new therapist to my private practice. So I had some spare keys for the office. So I had them in my car, and I walked into the office, put my stuff down, went outside, and I was like, oh man, I'm gonna grab the things. I walked out the door and realized it was locked. And I went, okay, I checked my pockets, which I thought I did. I felt something in my pocket. I thought there were my keys. Nope, wadded up piece of paper. So so then I went, okay, that's not good. Check the door. That's locked. Go out to my car. Oh, maybe I left my door unlocked because I thought I was going to come back out. Door is locked. Two spare sets of keys in my car seat. I can see them through the window. I honestly thought about breaking my own car window. Didn't. So I went, okay, I'll call my wife. She has keys to the office. She'll come and bring them by. Went into my pocket for my phone. No phone. Where's my phone? It's in the office next to my car keys, next to my office keys. And then I went, oh, you know, where's my work phone? Because I have a personal phone and a work phone. My other phone right next to my work phone. Or my work phone right next to my, whatever I said. So I am no keys, no phone. Locked out of the office. So, hence no recording. Then I went, you know what I'm going to do? I have the OCD SoCal conference that I'm giving a talk at. So I'll take my little recorder, I'll put it next to me, and I'll record my presentation, and I'll put that up. All right, come Saturday, I do the whole thing, I get prepared, and I'm doing my talk, and halfway through I go, oh, I was supposed to set up my recorder for a podcast. Nope. Ugh. So I went, you know what I'll do? I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow after everyone goes to sleep. It'll be like the old days of staying up until like 1 a.m. recording after everyone goes to sleep. Sweet. Alas, thwarted again. I got a COVID booster for a long story that does not need to be shared here. But I got a COVID booster Saturday afternoon because for that long story. And then come Sunday, my immune system punched me directly in the face and pretty much everywhere else for that matter. I felt awful. I felt sick. I felt terrible. And I'm like, there is no way I'm going to get up to doing a recording at all. So it was just a gaggle of things. So ladies and gentlemen, I apologize for the long wait of getting this podcast up, but here we are. Here we are. So I've got a couple more audio questions in the bank. So we're going to post some of those. I've been chatting with some folks to try to get them on either to share or to help answer some questions or to help share their expertise in certain areas. So things are still happening over the Fearcast, provided I am not feeling like I'm going to die or just forgetful. Because that also happens. And you know what? Turns out I'm human. So there we are. Anyhow, thank you, everybody. Speaking of the conference, thank you, everybody who came out and checked out the OCD SoCal conference. So I spoke at the one in Costa Mesa, but I know that OCD SoCal had them all over. So there were a bunch of speakers and various different locations. It was it's always a great event. Great speakers, great information put out, fantastic Q&A. So if you are in the Southern California area, come check us out next year. Hopefully I'll be speaking at that one. We'll see. But there are OCD, IOCDF affiliates all over America, likely all over the world, but I can't speak for all over the world. But I know there are these affiliates all over America, and they do their various local conferences. So if you're in a major metropolitan area, reach out to the IOCDF and look to see if there is an affiliate in your area and see how you can get involved. See if they have a mini conference or get-togethers. I know that the IOCDF, OCD SoCal, is very active, thanks to Chris Tronson and all the other good folks who are on the board with them. So check them out. It's an awesome organization. Anyhow, enough of that. So today I have an audio question. So this audio question comes from Rob. I'll play that here in just a moment, and then I'll share some ideas. So for those of you who are new to the podcast, I know I share a little bit about this at the very end, but if you would like your question answered on a future episode of the Fearcast, you can send me a message over at fearcastpodcast.com. You, over there at Fearcast Podcast, you can also send me a link to a shared Google Drive or a link to a recording of your voice. You can go over to Instagram. I'm Fearcast Podcast over at Instagram, and you can send me a direct message there, and you can record your audio there. Audio questions do tend to get put to the top of the list because your voice is much more interesting, and it's a way to reward your bravery of sharing your voice and putting it out there. And it shows, again, that there are people out there just like you, all over the world, who are experiencing these same things. So if you have this question out there and you're kind of wanting this question answered, believe me, somebody else in the world also has that question and also wants it answered. So if you feel brave enough to ask, go ahead, send me a message over those various places, and I will put it up on a future episode. So without further ado, here is Rob's question.
Hey, Kevin. I've been diagnosed with OCD about a year ago. It started out of nowhere when I got together with the best girlfriend I could ask for. And I've been in therapy for OCD, mainly CBT. Lately, I've noticed that I can be in my head for a long time daily. I'll be having three conversations in my head at the same time, be it with my girlfriend, a therapist, or a friend. And I noticed that I'm on autopilot when living through my day, but I try to stay present. But I slip into daydreaming within a few minutes or even 1 minute. This is all accompanied by the fear that I don't really have OCD. Well, my OCD ebbs and flows, as is normal, I guess. It can be really bad for a period where I know I should let my thoughts go, but the anxiety is just too much, and when the OCD is gone, I get really numb and kind of depressed. The fact that the OCD symptoms are less or almost gone makes me doubt whether I have OCD or not. I can't really enjoy my hobbies anymore because I'm constantly, purposefully or not, waiting for that feeling of dread to come back. I've checked a letter from a therapist who diagnosed me with OCD like 10 times just to be sure. I'm going to see a psychiatrist in 3 months again to help me out with medication and my feelings and doubts about the anxiety I have. I know this might be compulsive, but how common is it to daydream about all these conversations while I'm always explaining how my OCD works to everyone? Is this rumination in disguise? Or is it maybe maladaptive daydreaming? I don't think I'm choosing to daydream about it. It just happens. Like right now, I don't even understand how I could have been so scared that I didn't love my partner. I know I do, but there's always that little doubt in the back of my head, which keeps telling me, be careful with your thoughts. Don't think these thoughts. It might come back. It might not. And if it doesn't come back, did you ever really have OCD? What if the psychiatrist finds out I do not have OCD in a few months? What does that mean? Lately, it feels like I'm just sitting out my time one day at a time. Whenever I'm doing my homework or chores and I'm done with them, I don't know what to do with myself. It's hard to enjoy anything because of the thoughts. And I'm constantly checking how I feel and whether I'm having fun doing an activity or being with my friends. Maybe that's where my OCD is now, like constantly checking whether I'm having fun with something or not, or whether I'm enjoying myself or not. I also know that everyone's story is different, but I keep comparing myself to other stories and think things like, oh, see, I don't have any other themes. It must mean I'm faking it. Scripting also doesn't do much for my OCD. I could get really depressed just thinking about everything and getting, quote unquote, too logical with life. So I can't live my life, but I have to think about everything all the time. I'm also going to ask for some tests around ADHD or maybe autism just to be sure. As always, thank you for everything you do. Take care.
All right. Rob, thank you so much for sending in that question. So I know it kind of went all over the place, and I've listened to the audio several times, took a bunch of notes, and I'm going to try to do my best to answer your question. And then I sat down and went, I don't think there's a question. I didn't hear a specific question of hey, how do I deal with X, or I'm worried about blank. What do I do with this? Or is sometimes I'll get, you know, is this quote normal? But I didn't hear any question in that. I just kind of heard a lot of things that are going on in your life and a lot of complications to your life thanks to OCD and its impact in these various different areas. And it got me starting to think. You started talking about, like, you know, you feel like you've hit a wall in treatment, or you feel like things aren't working. You specifically cited scripting as something that's not working very well. I went back to look at your original message, and you sent a message over at Instagram, at Fearcast Podcast on Instagram. So I went and read, and you actually added a couple more things, and I'll share this little bit, which I think is just going to further complicate things, but I think it's also going to further it'll further explain or further give more context into why it is. I'm going to say what I'm going to say. So he goes on to say, so one last thing I wanted to add, and he said, I promise, he added a couple of things, but then he said, last thing I wanted to add is that I see a lot of overlaps in depression and existential OCD. I constantly question why I'm doing the things I'm doing. I know I have fun in life and live it, but to what end? I've delved into cosmology for a large part of my life as a hobby, and now it seems to be working against me. Because I know how small and insignificant we are, why would my life matter? I used to be pretty motivated following an education around sustainability, sustainability and environmental management, but now I'm not like, what's the point? What's the point if the world's just going to pieces anyways? What could I possibly add to the world that actually matters in the big picture? So, you know, that added a little bit, and, you know, kind of reading it here again, it gives me a little more context into what's going on in your life, Rob. But one thing that I would encourage you, one thing that was coming to mind is what seems to be the core fear? Like, what is the end result of all this? I mean, you kind of alluded to something here. What does my life matter? What does anything mean? You talked a little bit about, where are my notes? You kind of talked about, like, you know, no meaning in life. You talked about, you know, whether or not you're going to be happy, kind of ruminating about, you know, when you're hanging out with your friends, you're doing hobbies, are you happy? Are you enjoying it? And that causing a lot of rumination. Feeling directionless, like some of that it made me think about, you know, is the fear that you're going to live a directionless life and that you're not going to be able to settle on anything. You're just going to be like floating in questions forever. Is the worry that you're then going to be emotionally or psychologically alone forever? And I don't know. I wish I could, you know, sit down and ask you all these questions, but alas, you're on the other side of the world. So it's tough, and it's tough. And sometimes this actually gets to another point, is I wonder if this is one of the reasons that scripting is not working for you, is if you're not scripting about something that matters to you. Or if your scripts aren't actually getting at what you're genuinely afraid of or genuinely worried about. Because you talk about a lot of compulsions, a lot of rumination about other people. You talk about your girlfriend, you worry about whether or not you do have OCD. You kind of talk about then you're worried, like, well, maybe you don't have OCD, maybe you do have OCD. What if it's gone? Oh no, what if it's then going to come back, which is just another manifestation of OCD. Worried about your relationship, worried about, I guess we mentioned this already, whether or not you're having fun and enjoying life. So the rumination about explaining to everybody else kind of what your OCD is, that can certainly be another compulsion, I'd argue. In this case, it probably is. But again, to what end? What are you trying to accomplish through all of that? What are you trying to ward away? What are you trying to ensure is going to happen? Or what are you trying to ensure is not going to happen? And that, you know, not to say that this is, hey, this is a whole other thing, Rob, for you to spend all of your time worrying about. You're doing plenty of that, and you're very good at it. But this would be something to process with your therapist. You, I know you mentioned in your email or your message later on that, you know, it can be tough to find a therapist where you are. You know, if you're having trouble finding a therapist where you are who specializes in OCD, you can always reach out to the IOCDF and see if they know somebody in your area of the world who specializes in OCD. We here in Southern California, we have OCD therapists just like dropping out of trees and just kind of just running around aimlessly trying to help people. But that's not the case everywhere else in the world. It's weird, but it's not the case. Reaching out to IOCDF, and there are also just folks who are either licensed internationally or licensed in various countries, or there are, you know, there are some countries that have more lax rules about regulation for psychotherapy, and there are some therapists out there who are willing to exploit that laxiness. Anyways, loophole. It's not a loophole. Anyways, you get what I'm saying. There are other people out there who are willing to work. So it just matters of reaching out and trying to find some of those folks if it doesn't feel like you're getting your needs met where you are and with a therapist that you currently have. Now, chatting with him or her about what the fear is and like playing what's called the downward arrow exercise, which is to say like, all right, if what you're afraid about is true, then what? All right, let's say that's true. Now what? And then that to that end. All right, let's say that thing is now true or a fact or going to happen. Then what? Right? Then what might be true? Then what might happen? Then what might be a fact about you or your life or your existence? And it gets down to this like core worry that oftentimes all the compulsions kind of center themselves around, and they're all trying to answer this or get at this or destroy this in a sense, whatever that fear is. And that's what sometimes is lacking for people when they're trying to do scripts. They're writing these scripts and scripts work for some people and they don't work for other people. Scripting may not be something that really matches for you, and that's okay. But scripting, if you're writing a feared story, a script about what you say to be afraid of, but it doesn't actually raise anxiety or doesn't actually speak to what you're worried about, you're just writing you're practicing writing, which is good, but it's not really going to get at the fear, right? And let you practice getting into that sweet spot of anxiety. Right? Not trying to overblow your anxiety and, you know, send you to the moon, and not trying to just go like, oh, I guess that's like academically scary, but it doesn't actually produce that visceral worry. So I'd encourage you to think about what do all these things mean and where does it all go for you? Because that will help guide then what exposures you can do. But regardless of all those things, as I've talked about before, response prevention is going to be the most important thing that you can do in the world of ERP, so in the world of exposure and response prevention. Because you're doing a lot of mental compulsions, and I know there are a lot of great resources on mental compulsions out there. I have a whole long article on my website about it. I know Kimberly Quinlan on her podcast has a multi-episode series on mental compulsions, on mental compulsions that I would encourage you to listen to. As that might give you some ideas on how you can start to become aware of what are the things that you're doing that are mental compulsions and what are the things you can do to pull back on those. Because the mental compulsions, just like physical, are there to try to give certainty or to eliminate anxiety. But we're trying to pull back on that mental thinking. This is for those of you who are new out there, this is where the idea of pure O comes from, where they're going like, oh my gosh, I'm obsessing about this for 8 hours a day. Well, no, you're doing compulsions about this for 8 hours a day. It's compulsive thinking in order to try to eliminate anxiety or ensure comfort, safety, security, stability. But it's active thinking. Compulsions are active thinking. The obsession is a passive thought that induces anxiety. And then your effort, mental or physical or otherwise, is meant to alleviate that. Now, noticing when you're doing that requires a hefty amount of mindfulness and personal honesty about when you're doing this and why you're doing this. You might say to yourself, all right, I'm having this discussion, this argument, or this debate in my head with these various mental representations of people, girlfriend, therapist, etc., to try to illustrate to them how my OCD works. Why? What's the purpose of it? Now, this isn't just the thought, oh my gosh, I hope that people understand me. But then you're spending a lot of your mental efforts doing it. Sometimes we get so good at it, we start to have echoes of those memories that just kind of show up from time to time. And that's okay. But we need to remember not to then take that echo of a thought and grab onto it and keep going with it. Or to take that passive thought that your brain gave you and say, you know what, don't worry, I got this. Let me expand on this and put some energy into it. And when we do that, we separate ourselves from the present and we step into fantasy land of anxiety. We start to fix and solve and all that stuff. And we're not present. We're not actually in a relationship. We're not actually communicating with others. And by the way, that pulls us away from the opportunity to actually experience happiness, joy, connectedness, vulnerability even, right? Compulsions, my ICBT friends will acknowledge, compulsions are a dissociative process. It pulls you out of it. And then so many people then say, oh man, you know, I just don't enjoy my life anymore. Yeah, I get it. Because when you're in the middle of mental compulsions, in the middle of compulsions and worry and checking and all this stuff, and physical evaluation of your emotions, your physical sensations, all of that is detracting you from life, detracting you from the experience of life. And isn't that what you're trying to do, is to experience life? So then the question always comes back to, well, what happens, what are you afraid of will happen if you don't do the compulsion? Will it come true? Will you discover something that you fear might be true? Will something else, will it trigger something? Will you miss the opportunity for something else? Will you not get to the bottom of something and therefore not, or therefore be vulnerable to something else unwanted in the future? And all those things need to be acknowledged and considered in the course of response prevention. We're saying, I'm not going to do my safety behavior. You know what? I'm going to have my worry that, you know what? Maybe this isn't OCD. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's something else. I don't know what that something else is, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm missing something. Okay. And then in the course of doing that, we acknowledge that there's the thought, but what if you do have OCD? Or what if you don't have OCD, rather? All right, maybe I don't. And then we reshift back to our life, meaning you reshift back to the conversation you're having. You shift back to the hobby that you're trying to do. You shift back to the TV show you're watching. You redirect back to the letter that you're writing to your therapist. I don't know, whatever you're doing. And you attempt to give yourself the opportunity to get engrossed with that and to get whatever joy or interest or excitement or pleasure or attraction you have in that. And it may be a little bit, it may be a lot, but we don't know. But in the process, we're letting go of saying that my solution to life, my solution to uncertainty is found through rumination, or is found through fully explaining in my head how my OCD works. Instead, we're saying maybe I'm going to be vulnerable to something unwanted, and we'll see what happens when it happens. Now, that's something that happens. That's part of that conversation to have with your therapist of, well, what is that thing that you are afraid of? Because then you can say, well, maybe that thing is going to happen. Maybe I am not going to be happy. Maybe I'm not fully happy. Let's say it's that. You're not fully enjoying life or having a meaningful life. How do you know anybody is? Is anybody having a full and meaningful life? How do we know that we'd be having a full and meaningful life? Maybe all of us are, but we just don't know it. Maybe there's one person out there who's having a full and meaningful life, and then there's everybody else. I don't know. I don't know. And I don't even know for myself. Am I having the fullest and most meaningfulest of lives that I could be having? I don't know. But I'm having the life that I'm having. And that's the best life that I can expect, is this one that I currently have. But I do know, if I sidestep myself and go, all right, let me analyze my feelings and let me consider how this person's feeling and how that person's feeling. Well, they seem to be happy. If I go on Instagram, they seem to be enjoying themselves. Ugh, that must mean that I'm not having fun. Well, that's awful. How do I fix that from not enjoying life, not living that life to the fullest? Well, quick, let's figure out what's going to give me life to the fullest. I thought I was doing it. I thought I was a therapist and helping people. And I've got my family and I've got my hobbies and I've got a couple of friends. But maybe those things aren't doing it. So I got to do something else. You can see how this can snowball into panic and snowball into the urgency to get to the answer. And instead, what we're going to practice is saying, maybe I'm not, but I'm having this life. And maybe this life of mine is just a big giant turd of a life. But you know what I can do? I can try to shine that turd up as best I can and try to live the life that I do have in the life that's in front of me. And we do practice and work towards doing things that will help us move towards a happier, more joyful life. But without the expectation that we're going to get a certain thing, that we're going to absolutely know we're getting a full, enjoyable life, that we absolutely know that this will bring complete fulfillment and enjoyment and meaning. You say, I think this will help. I'll give it a try. If it doesn't, we go, okay, that didn't work. Well, I guess I'll try something else. And if that doesn't work, we go, oh, okay, well, let me keep trying something else. And if we do find something that brings us a little bit of joy, we go, cool. Maybe I'll do more of that. All to the point of saying we're going to enjoy what we have in those moments. And this can come through practice of mindfulness, practice of just radical acceptance. These are all skills that are found in therapy, that are found in different branches of therapy. So pick your poison on which one you want to practice. But ultimately, all that's to say is looking at the compulsions that you're doing and saying, and being honest and saying, I'm doing a compulsion right now. I'm separating from the moment, and I've sidestepped my life into this question process, into this checking process, into this evaluation process. And instead, I'm going to say, whatever I'm trying to solve or whatever I'm trying to achieve in this might not be helpful. So instead, at least for right now, I'm going to refocus back on my life. Maybe I'm just going to do it for 5 minutes. Rob, maybe you can do it for 5 minutes before you have to go back and reevaluate. Maybe you're able to put the computer down, or maybe you're able to kind of let go just briefly of your effort towards trying to solve your relationship or solve your understanding about the universe and your place within it for like 10 minutes while you watch whatever TV show or play whatever game you're playing with your friends. And then afterwards, after that 10 minutes, go back and do it. Go back and ruminate. If that's what you can do, great. And then maybe you can do 11 minutes instead of 10, or you can do 12 minutes. And you keep expanding out and resisting those compulsions. I think scripting may be more helpful when you kind of figure out a core fear. But of course, scripting might not be for everybody. But thinking about things that activate your anxiety and intentionally doing those things, or intentionally leaning into those things, can also be very, very helpful. But again, if you're to do anything, exposure or response prevention, do response prevention, because life is going to give you plenty of things to ruminate about, things to have anxiety about. So, all right. So I think I've hit a lot of the things that I can hit from what you shared. So, Rob, I hope this does help. I hope that when you have that meeting with a psychiatrist, hopefully they'll have a greater understanding and be able to kind of work with you on some of these things. Perhaps if you're talking about psychiatry, I don't know if you've been taking medication. Sometimes for some folks, medication can be a missing puzzle piece in their anxiety treatment. And that may be something for you. It may not be the case for everybody. And if somebody is curious about it, I'd encourage you to have a conversation with a psychiatrist and with a psychiatrist who has training and understanding into what OCD is and what it is not. So Rob, thank you so much for this question, and I hope it helps. If you want to leave some feedback, or if anybody else out there wants to leave some feedback for Rob, feel free to leave me a message over at fearcastpodcast.com or over at Instagram at fearcastpodcast over there. All right, thanks so much, Rob. Thank you for listening to the Fearcast. If you would like your question answered on a future episode, please click on the Submit a Question link at fearcastpodcast.com. If you would like your question answered sooner, please send me a recording of your question to questions@fearcastpodcast.com or by sending me an audio message through Instagram by DMing me at fearcastpodcast on Instagram. If you like the Fearcast, please write a review on your podcast platform of choice. Please remember that the Fearcast is not a substitute for psychotherapy. If you need a little bit of help in your recovery, please go over to fearcastpodcast.com and click on the Find Help link, and there's going to be some information for you there. So until next time, take a risk, challenge yourself, and don't take your brain too seriously. Bye.